Hey, it's Phil. Today on the podcast, we talk about the season of Lent, Ash Wednesday, and it's not just about fish sandwiches. So we hope you enjoy the conversation.
Hi, and welcome to the Flipside Podcast, where we explore the underbelly of Crestview Bible Church. My name's Andrew. I'm joined, as always, by the pastor here at Crestview, Phil, and our frequent guest, Luke. So how are you guys doing this morning?
Great.
Yeah, great.
I like how you addressed him as the pastor.
The,
wow. The one.
For everyone in the church who knows me, they know I like to flaunt my authority.
And you're on the website.
And wow, here we are.
Try to stay with what the website says.
No, it's start good. Calling you the Reverend.
The Reverend. Ooh, the right Reverend. Ooh. Could I get right Reverend on that? I don't know. What if you're the wrong Reverend?
Right.
How do those people function? Anyway.
You probably need some kind of, you know, a bigger authority to call you right Reverend.
Right. Well.
We need like a bishop.
And of course, you know, we of course understand that the real pastor of Crestview is
Luke.
No.
Jesus.
Oh, right.
Jesus, right. Okay.
Just to get our cards clearly on the table. He is the chief shepherd and he has earned that. So it's good stuff.
So then he's the one who calls you right, Reverend.
Right. He
makes you right.
Me. He certainly called me. I don't know that I'm certainly right in his sight.
Amen.
So yeah, it's pretty good news.
So speaking of our chief shepherd, Jesus.
Right.
Is there a special occasion that we have coming up to think about him?
Right, so we wanted to do a podcast episode to prep you all for what we call the Lent season. Ash Wednesday is Wednesday, February the 22nd, and that kicks off a season in the church traditionally. And when I say in the church traditionally, I mean in the universal church. Most of the world probably is celebrating some sort of Lent observance.
As the Apostles' Creed says, the Holy Catholic Church.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
Catholic, but in the older sense.
Yeah, Catholic in the older true sense, right.
Yes.
So anyway, we're all over the place today, but the coffee needs to kick in soon. So Lent is kicking off on Ash Wednesday. By the way, if you wonder what Mardi Gras is, Mardi Gras, that's Fat Tuesday, which is the 21st. And the idea is that is the day you sow your wild oats or whatever. You do your crazy thing.
I did not know this.
You do your crazy celebrations because you're getting ready to fast for 40 days. So you get it all out of your system right. On Mardi Gras. That's why there's such extravagant parties. So you do that on Fat Tuesday, and then Ash Wednesday kicks off. And in certain parts of the world, like to show the contrition that you feel for this season, they might mark your forehead with ashes mm-hmm. in the shape of a cross. And we're just drawing attention to this to one, educate you, because you might have people in your life who, because we don't practice that, you may be confused, like, why are they doing this? In the best case scenario, they're doing it just to center on Christ.
Worst case scenario?
Worst case scenario is we can drift into self-righteousness, I think, because we can think, well, I'm better than people like that because I don't need some extra thing to prop up my faith. Mm-hmm. And I think somewhere we want to land in between that of this is an incredible season we have building up to Easter. The end of Lent season is the fact that Jesus rises from the dead. Yeah. I mean, that's the great truth. And it's a great way to focus on all that we hold dear about our faith, where we're thinking about Jesus. We're thinking about the cross. We're thinking about all that he endured for us. Obviously, that's going to lead up to Holy Week. We'll do another episode on that because that's going to be coming. We want to make sure we're all up to speed on all that we're going to be doing to celebrate Easter, Good Friday, all that coming up. But Lent kind of kicks off that season of 40 days of looking to Christ. So Ash Wednesday is the kickoff. With students, what we've done the last few years is we have a night of worship where we take a break from all the normal lessons. We have short devotions. A short devotion that just relates to Jesus, who he is and what he's done. And then we just have a night where we're confessing and singing together, giving praise to him. And we call that our Ash Wednesday service. I know initially some parents were like, what are you doing? And I'm like, we're not marking your kids off or anything. We're not roping them into anything weird. We're just taking a night to worship Jesus, and we'd love to have you there. So That's kicking off on the
22nd. So maybe you can explain why ash on the forehead.
Yeah, why ash on the forehead.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is the deal on
and
that?
Not dust?
Well, yes. I think it is meant to be dust.
Right.
Oh, okay,
right.
Okay.
So is this the memento mori?
Right.
Right.
Yes.
So memento mori is Latin for dying daily. Is that it?
I don't know Latin. I didn't go to a classic Christian school and learn that in
kindergarten. Vino veritas? That's what they said in Tombstone, which means in wine there is truth. So I don't want to get into all that now. But memento mori is a Latin expression symbolizing the reminder that death is inevitable. So it's a reminder that, you know, you are dust and to dust you will return. Mm-hmm. That's kind of, you know, we believe that God has created the world. We believe that God has made each person individually. And if we look back in that Genesis narrative, it's out of the dust he made them.
Yeah.
The Genesis 2, you know, God's crafting it with his own bare hands. And that's why I think one level we value the image of God, we value people because God does. But this is a season where we're thinking about that. Not only like our lives in relation to eternity, but Jesus, I mean, taking on human flesh and coming to die, building up to the cross. I mean, it's such a significant thing. So I think when they put the ash on the forehead, it's, you know, you're dust and to dust you will return.
Right.
And it's a way for us to see the frailty of our lives in light of Jesus and putting our hope in him. So with the Ash Wednesday comes usually a 40-day fast. Now, like where I live in town, what this usually means is the Arby sign changes from two roast beef sandwiches to six for $6 to two fish sandwiches for $6.
Yes. Yep.
So a traditional fast might be giving up beef for the Lenten season. But what are some thoughts we have around fasting? I mean, I guess we probably need to do a sermon on fasting at some point. To talk about, to just try to orient this. I think there's a lot of, maybe a lot of confusion because we don't talk about it a lot. It's kind of, we're not doing the hardcore traditions of Lent. So what are some thoughts you have?
Well, first of all, you said it's a 40-day fast starting from Ash Wednesday and ending on Easter Sunday, right? But if you do the math,
right.
It's more than 40 days.
Right, because they don't count the weekends. Did you know this?
Yeah, so they don't count Sundays. Sundays, you break from your fast.
Yeah, because every Sunday in the Christian world is a celebration that somebody got out of the grave.
Oh, yeah.
And he ran out of that grave. Yeah, right. So every nice. Sunday is celebrating that. So they're taking a break on every Sunday. But
I mentioned that because some people might be confused,
right.
Saying, well, wait a minute. You told me I could start on Ash Wednesday.
Are you alleging that we have some persnickety listeners who might
may.
Pull out calendars?
I may or may
40
not.
Days. I defy the person who can't count. What is this, Common Core?
Yeah. So you asked about what my thoughts on Lenten fasting. So
right. So I just to kind of lay our cards on the table, like Luke and I have heard all kinds of extravagant craziness over the years. You know, people like, well, I'm going to fast from gossip for these next 40 days. How about you just stop gossiping in general? It's a sin.
Yeah,
you know, right. Like, Jesus is better.
You don't fast from sinning. You just stop.
Right. And, you know, some view the fast, like the example I just gave, like, you know, giving up beef for fish.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, anyway, just riff on fasting.
And that's the other thing. So one is, don't be ridiculous on what you're fasting from, right? So you don't fast from a sin. And then two, don't forget that Jesus said, when you fast, don't talk about it. But for some reason, it's the social thing to do is, hey, I'm giving up this for Lent. Hey, look, everybody, I'm giving up this. And it's like, that's the exact opposite of what you're supposed to do.
The humble brag, instead of taking a picture of your food, you're taking a picture of a plate of ice. You know,
right.
Like, this is my supper this Lent season. Yeah,
right.
Praise God. Hashtag.
Yeah. I'm all for fast. I think fasting is a great practice. It's a neglected practice that we have in the American church today. Coming from, you know, I'm always going to have the international angle, but all around the world, fasting is a very prominent aspect of the Christian life, a very regular practice, weekly practice. And maybe I'm not giving the benefit of the doubt, maybe everybody around me is fasting and they're just following Jesus' command not to say about it. So it could be, right?
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of teaching about it in the American church. There's not a lot of saying.
Speaking of globally, I mean, doesn't this loom large in all the major world religions.
Yeah.
I mean, so what sets apart the Christian fast? You know, so we know, like, for the Muslim faith, for Hindus, for Buddhists, I mean, I think fasting is large for all of that.
Mm-hmm.
What sets apart the Christian way of going about this, especially as we're thinking about a Lenten kind of fast, a fast where we're maybe giving up something so we can focus strategically on Jesus?
Yeah.
So
most religions, they're fasting in order to get something.
Right.
To earn some sort of favor. So especially Hindus, they will fast if there's a sick person in the hospital, a family member in the hospital. Hey, I'm going to fast until this person gets well. I'm having an exam coming up, and so I'm going to fast until I pass that exam. Yeah. I'm fasting in order to get something, to earn something. The Christian faith would be the opposite of that.
Right.
I've already been given heaven.
Somebody's already earned it.
Right.
Yeah, right.
And he's promised that to me. Right. And now I just want to enter into that. Right. I want to grow in my affections towards Christ. I want to take away the distractions out of my life so that I can just focus solely on him and just meditate on him. And so some people, you know, they'll fast from the at least the 21st century now is fasting from your phone,
yeah.
Right? Social media.
Detox, yeah.
Right. So, and I think that could, right? So that distraction is now being taken away so that there is time and there is availability. There's heart space, there's mind space right. in order to focus on Christ, in order to delve deep in there, to delve deep into prayer, not yeah, be
even just the practical thing. Like you can change the color settings on your phone to be monochromatic rather than like full color. And I just find sometimes turning my phone to black and white makes it less attractive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like yeah. The apps aren't beaming, you know, Be Real would still be black and white, but, you know, Instagram just doesn't look as snazzy when it's in black and white.
Yeah.
And so I think it's drawing, it helps remind my eyes, like, you know, what's real is the spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
What's real is what God's done for me through Jesus. And so even something just as small as a trigger like that, might help someone. Oh yeah, man, this is a season where I'm looking to Christ.
Yeah. And you mentioned food.
Yeah.
Right. Sure. So some people fast from a certain type of food.
Yep.
I think that fasting from food is really beneficial.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not talking about health wise. So there's right. some, you know, yeah. people would be like
the intermittent fasting app.
Right. Right. I'm not talking about so you can shed a few pounds.
Right.
I'm talking about when you skip meals, right? Yeah. When you go maybe a day without eating, man, your stomach starts to grumble. You feel your neediness.
Yes.
You feel like, man, like I need food and I can't live without this. And it sparks in my mind, like, that's how much I need Jesus. Like, I need him more than that. So rather than running to food to satisfy that, I'm going to run to Christ in those moments and be like, man, I need you. Like, You're the one that's going to satisfy me.
Yeah.
Now, yes, at the end of the day, I'm going to have food, but
right.
I want to experience that, like in my body, to let my mind go there to say, man, I want to rest in you and not in just quickly running to satisfy my need. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think it's great. When Jesus was with his disciples, it reminds me of that passage on fasting where I think Jesus' disciples asked them, you know, or no, the Pharisees come and say, why don't your disciples fast? In other words, like every religion has this, and Jesus' answer is something like, "It's because I'm here."
Yeah.
You know, like you're not fasting him. While your bridegroom is
right.
with you.
That's right.
This is like the best of times I'm here. Now, there's going to come a time when my disciples will fast.
Yeah,
because I'm going to go back to heaven. I'm going to send them, you know, basically the Holy Spirit. But for now, I'm here, and so what we're doing is we're trying to taste into that, or we're kind of lean into that. Like, we need him. We need him to come through. We're desperate for him. Whom have we in heaven but him?
Yeah, right.
You know, we're leaning into that reality and anything we can do to trigger that. So the other thing with fasting, the challenge that we have to avoid is we can make it so much about the fast itself or us.
Yeah.
So the fast itself would be getting hung up on what it is, but then, you know, just focusing on us.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. And that's where, you know, Andrew, we were talking about before the show, that's kind of your concern, yeah. your passion.
I feel like there's
and
been...
so, big A, talk about that.
There's just been so much teaching in my personal life about fasting to the detriment of fasting, where it's like, man, I've tried this so many times, and it's always, I feel like it's never accomplished the goal of what you just laid out, which is that Christ is magnified in my fast. It's always mm-hmm. about me and what I'm giving up, mm-hmm. and like that's not helpful. And right, yeah. so I just think what you said, if that's my attitude, I guess as a church goer, as a congregant, would it be ever a time where you would encourage me not to fast if that's my hard attitude towards it, that it's almost been harmful? Or is it better to give it a try with a new attitude? I guess that's my question.
Right. You know, I think we do want to be sensitive to people, and like we understand like dietary restrictions too. And I mean, we have some people in our congregation who cannot skip a meal, or else their bodies will go into like needing to go to the hospital. We know that's the reality for some people. So we're not advocating for some, you know, religious practice that necessarily puts you in harm's way mm-hmm. in that regard. But there is an edge to fast that it does require some measure of sacrifice. So that's mm-hmm. the tension. And I don't know. So I just want to be real sensitive. I don't want to propel religion for the sake of religion, but I would appeal and say, maybe for the sake of Christ, what if you like used your lunch hour to just seek him rather than eating? Or what if you, you know, gave up a time where you might usually watch a movie to look to Christ and spend some time like reading through a gospel, you know, yeah. that this season, and again, it doesn't necessarily mean it has to happen every day, but over the next 40 days, could you carve out a window where you could give up something for the sake of more of Christ mm-hmm. and knowing him and leaning into him and loving him and enjoying him more? I would venture to say that's probably going to be refreshing to your soul.
Yeah.
And certainly dead religion is going to kill your soul and it's going to shrivel up, you know.
So at the risk of flaunting our fasting, do we want to share just some examples of what we have fasted from before?
Sure.
Just to get spur people's ideas yeah. on. So for me, I've done fasts during Lent on watching sports.
Mm-hmm.
So I said from Ash Wednesday to Easter.
Is it really a sacrifice? I mean, what sports are there?
No, but that's yeah, my issue, sure, right? Like right. I would spend, this is back in the day, I would spend, you know, Saturday afternoon watching baseball. Or, you know, it's really hard to give up sports when March Madness is going on.
No, yeah.
So, you know, not I would typically, you know, I didn't spend the evening watching the good games on yeah. that March Madness weekend, but decided not to in order to have that time to, hey, maybe I can dive into scriptures more. Maybe yeah. I can spend more time just investing in someone else's life
right.
In those moments rather than idolizing sports.
Yeah. I think the ones that stick now and are heavy are, you know, giving up the, you know, some sort of media that we enjoy mm-hmm. because we're so infatuated with that. But certainly, I think taking a day of the week, if you're able to fast for meals, I find that like beginning a fast like after supper one night and then finishing at supper the next day,
mm-hmm.
'Cause just being mindful of not wanting to make a big deal, like to my family, like, hey, I'm fasting, I can't eat with you tonight, I hope you have a good time together, or some weird dad move, you know, like, but just making it where it's not that, it's not drawing so much attention to myself that people are like, why aren't you eating with us? But it's still technically like a 24-hour window.
Mm-hmm.
And just using those meal times, times where I'd normally be eaten, to focus more explicitly on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a rhythm that's worked well for me as I've tried to.
I think that what you have to evaluate your life.
Yeah,
right. Sure. So what is there in your life that you finding to be taking an overwhelming amount of time and energy, mental focus, that's would be a distraction for you to focus on Christ.
Yeah.
So it's going to look different from everybody.
Yeah.
Right. So like you said, for some people it might not be a big deal to fast from sports. You'd be like, right. Okay, fine. Well, then, hey, Luke said I should fast from sports, so I should do it. And it's actually not a sacrifice at all. So then right. you just defeated right. the purpose.
Yeah. I hate those athletes anyway. They're always so vain.
You paid too much money.
Good for you. Yeah. Right. Whatever. So yeah, I think just evaluating your heart, what's something that I could give up that would kind of be a sacrifice for me, that would create an opportunity where I could focus on Christ, and then, you know, he's going to meet you there mm-hmm. when you seek him, you know? So
yeah.
I think we're not advocating a particular kind of fast or practice. We're just saying traditionally, this is what this season has meant in the life of the at-large church.
So speaking of just yeah. ways that people can do that. There's another resource that we have given to the church in this Lenten season. Maybe you can speak to that, Phil.
Right. So we've a lot of you, I mean, the feedback we got from the devotional we distributed during the Advent season was we purchased pre-written Advent devotionals from Christianity Today. And so we've done that again for Lent. So it's called New Life Rising, Devotions on the Journey from Death to Life. So they've written on different aspects of Jesus' life, like when he's in the wilderness. There's a section about kind of the transition to death, to the empty tomb, and then the resurrection. And that's kind of what we're walking through in the season of Lent. So we have this resource at the information desk to give to you. It's been available for a few weeks at the information desk. We just obviously haven't drawn attention to it because it's not relevant in time yet, but we'd love for you to have a copy of this. It's not like there's a devotional for every day. So there's a devotional for Ash Wednesday. There's three devotionals for the Lent season. There's a devotional for Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and then a couple, three related to Easter, and then a recap of that. So I think it's paced in a way that it's not laying a bunch of work on you, as we've just talked about fasting and sacrificing and looking to Christ. So it might be that maybe you just carve out, you know, three time periods where you're going to focus on Christ during the Lent season, and you can dig into this devotional and some of the readings. But it's just a tool to help you, and we hope that would be the case for people. And it's with CT, what I love is, you know, as I look up around all the people that have written these, I don't know any of these names, you know, so, sure. And they look to me like internationally flavored. So, you know, all kinds of different backgrounds and nationalities, and it's kind of like heaven. You know, there's just all kinds of nations and peoples represented in what's being written here. So, we're really grateful for this resource and happy to offer.
That's about seven readings, eight readings?
Yeah, I think it's right, eight.
So if you start after Ash Wednesday, it's about once a week.
Nine readings, but there's basically half of those are Holy Week.
Yeah, but I mean, you could, if you wanted to pace it out, just, hey, I'm going to read one each week.
Yeah.
And then maybe, which I've heard this before, where people fast from sleeping. Mm-hmm. So wake up an hour early on a Sunday. And
that's right,
spend reading that.
For sure.
That could be your Lenten fast. Is instead of waking up at 7 on a Sunday, you wake up at 6 and go through that.
It's good, I mean, really, the sky's the limit. And we're just, you know, we're wanting to set the guardrails in there that you avoid self-righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You avoid what Jesus says to avoid. You know, this is not about you. This is not about you looking down your awesome, wicked fast at others. But it's just a way that you can seek Christ with all your heart. And hopefully we've gotten some resources that will help you with that. And we just hope this is a great Lenten season for you. We're going to keep, you know, as a church, we'll be working through the book of Job. And then as we get closer to Holy Week, we have a sermon series that is just a short sermon series related to who Jesus is that we're going to be doing around Holy Week. So hopefully all this just helps you. You know, if we think about Memento Mori drifting from death to life, man, all that we're seeing in Job relates to that. So hopefully that helps you too. So, yeah, that's what we got for today.
I guess in our closing time, I might ask what congregationally we can do. Fasting and Lent can be a very introspective time, but is there anything you would encourage us as we're together on Sundays? We're churchmen. We think body life is where the real substance of the Christian life happens. So anything in this season that you would like to see, or hard attitudes we can have as a body together?
Right. I think, you know, just drawing attention to Christ. I mean, I think that's the big thing. I don't want to say we do a good job of that. I think we do a better job than most churches I've been in. But just to keep encouraging one another with what Jesus has done for us and how he's so compelling. You know, I know that's a lot of people, that's what they love about our church. But I think just finding ways that you could talk to people about Jesus and help, I don't know, leverage the good pressure of the body on one another of, isn't this an amazing season that we get to experience together in Christ? Mm-hmm. So, you know, now that we're taking Lord's Supper more consistently this year, I think that's a way you can be speaking of that. You know, what are you, I mean, maybe just walking in and saying to others, you know, what are you excited about what Jesus has done today, you know, as we're gathering. And then I know you're trying to craft services that center on Christ. So, I mean, I think just encouraging people to give their whole heart to worship, to come in ready to find Christ in our worship services. We're committed to draw attention to Christ in our preaching and in our singing. And so come expecting that on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. I don't think that you should, that should be a weird thing for you to come to church on a Sunday morning and be like looking for Christ and building one another up in Christ. So I know that kind of is all kind of standard stuff, but
I think that's a great question. I'm glad that you asked that question. I think that one practical way that you can step into that is as we're focusing on Jesus, and especially in this time about his sufferings and his death and his sacrifice and his humility towards us, we can use this time introspectively to think about the body in ways that we can serve.
Yeah.
Right. So let me explore that. Let me talk to some people. What needs to be done in the life of the church? Well, what gaps are we missing? You know, talk to a leader, talk to your small group leader, talk to whoever to say, hey, I need to step up in some areas, and I've maybe seen that, maybe Christ has exposed that in me. And so where can I step up? What else can I be in order to die to myself for the sake of the body?
Yeah. Or even stuff the leadership doesn't see. Like, I'm seeing that we could really serve people in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe God's let you see that so you can be the leader in that particular area and give us insight to what we are unable to see. We recognize that. We're flawed. We're not perfect. We got so much room to grow. And you know, this might be a season as we're all seeking Christ together that he's using it to build his church.
Mm-hmm.
That he's, you know, as we're thinking about his sufferings, that we're able to care for people who are suffering better. We're able to care for needs in the body better. So, yeah, it's great.
Great. Well, as you can tell, we're very passionate about this. Thanks for joining us as we start our Lent season this upcoming Wednesday. And this podcast will hopefully release before then, so you can be preparing your hearts and mind. Thanks, guys, for joining us today. And we'll catch you on the flip side.